During an election campaign, it's pretty common, in fact, it's routine, to have all kinds of different groups and agencies and organizations step up to get their voices heard by those who want to be in a position to make decisions whenever this election is done, right? And they'd be negligent if they didn't. That's, in a lot of cases, the very role that the organization has been created for. We talked about the Canadian Medical Association yesterday and the letter they have written and what they're urging Canadians to do. We're trying to track down someone to talk to us about the oil patch CEOs. 14 energy CEOs in Canada issued a statement saying that the next government needs to declare an energy crisis in Canada, right? So we can get some things done to solve the problem. Along the same lines, we have another group working to be heard. It's the Progressive Contractors Association of Canada. And like I say, the energy crisis, with trade corridors, energy corridors, lots of talk about building new projects in this country. They say, yeah, we're ready. Here's the problem. Here's what needs to be done. Paul DeYoung is president and CEO of this organization, and he joins us now. Paul, thanks for your time. I appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Shay. Appreciate the chance.
So you've launched what you've called the Get Building campaign. We'll get to the details of what you're proposing in just a second, but why did you decide it was important to make sure that you said something during this campaign? Why now?
Yeah, sure. If I may, just a quick context. My organization represents about 170 construction and maintenance employers across the country, not just here in Alberta, but across the country. They employ tens of thousands of workers. Last year, they did about 60 million person hours of work across various projects. So we're not necessarily suggesting that construction is not being done. It's not necessarily being done at the pace and the scope that I think Canadians deserve. So our campaign, Let's Build It, is to boost overall construction activity, which is about 9% of GDP, employs about 1.5 million Canadians. So it's a fantastic industry. But in the context of these trade disputes with America, which we defer to our provincial and federal leaders to manage carefully over the weeks and months to come. But as we deal with that crisis, we have an opportunity here in Canada to build our country. We've seen in the past nation-building projects that have really energized Canadians, the workers, the communities, and has contributed to the success of the country. But Canada has some pretty significant problems. We are lagging in productivity. Canada is about 75% of productivity versus the U.S. and other international trading partners. And so we need to boost our productivity, and that's easier said than done. Mm-hmm. But we believe that if we begin to put a mindset to building things and getting to yes on major projects, right, that's crucial. And when I speak to major projects, that encompasses a whole span of infrastructure projects, whether they're hospitals or schools, highways, LRTs, but also the renewable sector, which our member companies have helped build. But critically, over the past 10 to 15 years, we've really seen in our federal government a disparaging of a key element of the Canadian economy, which is the natural resource sector. And we believe that as constructors and the engineering companies and proponents we work for, we can build these projects safely. We can build them in a way that that recognizes the community concerns within which those projects happen, recognize Indigenous rights, and do them in an environmentally stewardly fashion. But at the same time, really leverage the opportunity to say, hey, we have nationally or internationally leading resources in oil and gas and agriculture, in critical minerals, and let's get building those projects to strengthen Canada.
Okay, couple of things. First, why aren't we? Like you say, we are building, we are doing, but not sure. The productivity isn't there. It's not going as quickly as it should. What's in the way? What needs to be removed?
Yeah, so there's a number of key impediments. One of them is in the area of regulation. We have in the federal government something called the Impact Assessment Act. There's also a ban on tankers in our ports. And those really have caused a lot of delays and cancellations. If you're a proponent or an owner of a project that wishes to develop something in Canada, you have to go through a lengthy, and I think appropriately, detailed regulatory review to ensure that your project checks off a number of key boxes. Nobody's arguing with that.
Yeah.
But the length of time and the uncertainty that it's attached to that regulation process is untenable. It takes many, many times longer in Canada to achieve regulatory approval for a project than it does perhaps in the States. And at the end of the Canadian regulatory phase is a cabinet decision. So there's a political element to this that we feel is unwarranted. So we are recommending that whichever government takes charge after the next election, they need to considerably amend the Impact Assessment Act, adjust the tanker ban, and allow projects to move forward. And there's a variety of benefits to that. I mean, obviously building the projects, but also considering things like energy corridors to move these products across Canada in an efficient and responsible manner. Improving our access to Tidewater ports, because there's international customers that are keen to purchase these goods off of us. So there's a huge benefit lying in wait, but a big roadblock in the way.
Can we still do it, I guess, is the question. Even as this conversation has happened around, you know, renewing these nation-building projects and the energy corridor and stuff, we've had people say, yeah, well, industry's done. They've given up. You're not going to find somebody to build some of these projects that you're talking about. Can Canada still build these kinds of things, Paul? Or have we put ourselves so deep in the hole that that ship has sailed?
No, 100%. We've got the capability, the physical and intellectual skills to do this. We are leaders in construction design and execution. The proponents have become very accustomed in Canada to, I think, in a correct manner, acknowledge the indigenous and community and environmental obligations that they have. They're I'm going to say happy to do that. There's no issue with these companies meeting those requirements. And that's one of the ironies here, is that Canada is probably one of the best jurisdictions in terms of performance when it comes to building these things, aside from the regulatory drag that we have. I think that the key is that the proponents, whether they're domestic or international, will come to Canada as long as the conditions are renovated in a manner that says to them, Canada's open for business. Right now, they do look at Canada, Shay, and they say, I'm not sure if you're really open for business. We do have projects going forward. We have a couple of big ones in Edmonton here in the petrochemical sector that are very noteworthy, and we're very pleased that those landed. But again, those took many, many, many years and a lot of nail-biting to land those projects. And we have to have less desperation when it comes to attracting those investors and open the door to them in a much more fulsome way.
One other I wanted to ask you about, and this, we've heard this so many times too, as we talk about one of the barriers to the housing crisis, for example. Well, we don't have the people. We don't have the workers. We don't have the skilled trades. How big of an issue is that we need to solve?
It is an issue. The construction industry is facing a fairly significant challenge over the next 5 to 10 years of workers who are retiring and not enough workers coming in. And so that's another barricade, and I think a solution where our government, provincially and federally, need to take a hard look at how we attract, recruit, and retain construction workers into the industry. We have, unfortunately, as Canada, treated construction workers as second-class citizens, and that's just not right. There's a concept called parity of esteem that other countries have really put forward, which says that construction workers have as much social and economic standing as professions like lawyer, dentist, doctor, et cetera. And we need to do that work, both as industry and government, to rehabilitate the perception around our industry. Yeah. There's other innovation that we can bring. We have somewhat done ourselves a disservice by siloizing the trades and saying that a person who's trained to be an electrician is an electrician for life, when in fact there are many trades that have complementary skill sets to trades that are adjacent to them. So a boilermaker who can perform some aspects of welding work, or a pipe fitter who can perform some aspects of fabricating work. And we haven't done enough innovation. So that one is critical, because instead of being so focused on getting more workers, which we need to do, we need to make better use of the workers, because they themselves will be delighted, because their work prospects will be expanded, and we won't have so much of a pressure cooker when it comes to getting more bodies on the projects.
Sounds like a plan to me. Thanks so much for being with us today, Paul. I really, really appreciate the chat.
Thanks for the discussion.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you very much. Paul DeYoung, President and CEO of the Progressive Contractors Association of Canada, specializing in construction sector public policy advocacy. They're ready to go. So if we want to capitalize on this, what do we want to call it? rise in public sentiment that, hey, let's do this. Let's make sure we don't put ourselves in this position again. They're ready to go. 780-451-8800, 403-974-8255. Bunch of you on the phone lines.